This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Alan Pogenpohl, your country financial agent in Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Be Dry Waterproofing Solutions, serving central and southwestern Illinois. Contract Be Dry at 1-800-966-2379 or at BeDry.com. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing of Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Tobinot, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106. And we've got a lot to discuss in this hour. Of course, high school football is headed to week number 9. We've got some state golf scores to bring your way, some local competitors showing very well in the state golf tournament yesterday, and soccer regional scores for you as well for boys 1A. But fellas, I guess we should start with the World Series bound St. Louis Cardinals.
Yep. Well, I was a game off when before the series started. I said the Cardinals would win it in 5, but it took them 6. So
they almost won it in 5.
Yeah, almost won it in 5.
Put together a nice ninth inning rally.
That's right. And you just wonder if that ninth inning rally in game 5 kind of just jump-started the offense. It sure looks like it now, scoring 9 runs last night off Kershaw.
Well, and the Dodgers looked terrible last night. They didn't look like nothing like a playoff team last night. They just did not play well at all.
And that's the Cardinals know how that feels, because they didn't play well last year when they were up 3-1, and I think got outscored 20-1 in the final 3 games. So they certainly know the feeling that the Dodgers had last night.
Going into this postseason, obviously they held a 3-1 series lead, but the last 2 times they'd held a 3-1 series lead in the NLCS, 96, and last season in games 5-7, they'd been outscored 57-2.
Yeah. And this comes from a guy that said that the Dodgers were going to win 3 in LA and win the series?
I thought it was going to happen. I mean, the Cardinals' offense was not hitting at all.
Not to put you under the bus, David, but yeah. I'm just
don't worry. I was going to do that later anyway. Just get it out of the way now.
I wasn't impressed with Brooklyn or Brooklyn.
Oh, boy, we're really
back. Yeah, going back to my day. I wasn't impressed with them. They had that great streak there in the middle of the season that put them over the hump when they went like 50-10 or something.
42-8,
whatever. And but after that, if you analyze the last 6 weeks of their season, they were an average ball club, and they went into the playoffs. I was a little surprised they handled Atlanta like they did. But
the young pitching of the Cardinals proves to be really the biggest factor in this series. And 22-year-old Michael Wacha named the MVP, and of course,
deservedly so.
But how did the Cardinals even get Michael Wacha?
The
compensation pick for losing Albert Pujols. Isn't that
strange?
Boy, the offseason
has to just be getting worse and worse for him.
Oh, my goodness. But what are the odds that 2 years after Pujols leaves, the pick they used to, as his replacement, pitches them into the World Series? And he really does look like Adam Wainwright 2.0.
Yeah. And you know, and Clayton Kershaw came into that game last night. I think his ERA was below 1.
Mm-hmm. The Cardinals have hit him well historically. It makes no sense. The Cardinals can't hit left-handed pitching if they're a soft tosser and 50 years old like Jamie Moyer. A junk pitcher. Can't touch him. Yeah. But arguably the best pitcher in the game, certainly the best left-handed pitcher in the game, it makes no sense.
If you blaze the ball, if you're a left-hander, and you blaze the ball up there 60, 70 mile an hour, the Cardinal can't hit you.
It makes no sense.
There 90 mile an hour and it'll beat your brains out.
That's exactly right.
Well, the good thing about Waka is at least we have him under contract for 5 more years before arbitration.
He may not get to arbitration. They may lock him up this offseason.
They could.
Well, it was funny last night, like whenever he was getting presented with the NLCS MVP trophy, like just the way the camera was, you could kind of see, I think it was Bill DeWitt III, the president, in the background. He was happy, but you could see the wheels turning in his head almost like, this dude is going to cost me a lot of money. Boy, is he good.
Yeah, if he keeps this up, you know, and something doesn't happen to him, once in a while we see these sensations come up and do pretty good for a year or so, and then boom, something happens to him.
That's just it, Uncle Ralph. He can't be this good, can he?
I wouldn't think he could be this good. But keep in mind, fellas, he came up late. Yep. Nobody's seen him.
Right.
Couple times around the league, and the guys say, hey, this pitch he's got you can hit, and this and you can't. A prime example of adjusting to the situation is the last game between Detroit and Boston. Now, the first time Boston faced this guy, he beat him to death with that sinker ball. They had dirt all over their bats from swinging at him. What did they do the other night? They came out, they laid off of that. They made him get it up in the strike zone. When he got it up in the strike zone, they hit him. It's just little things like that that change the whole scenario of the game.
You're exactly right.
And Waka's doing this just on two pitches, essentially. Obviously, he's got that curveball, but it's not fully developed. If he gets that curveball going in the offseason, think of how much better he's going to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's scary to think that he's only 22.
His future is... nothing but roses.
Think about the Cardinals rolled out last night. They did the same thing in game two. 22-year-old Waka. I think 22-year-old Carlos Martinez. 23-year-old Trevor Rosenthal. Basically, your bullpen is throwing 100
Martinez
miles an hour.
Martinez is 21.
Mm-hmm. 21.
Martinez is.
There you go. Even better.
The question is,
the future looks bright in St. Louis, and if you look down the road, last spring, I think I told you guys last week, I wrote down on a piece of paper, St. Louis and Detroit was my picks for the World Series. Well, I got one in. I don't know about Detroit. They're kind of on a banana peeling right now. If they don't come back today, I think the Cardinals will match well with either one of them.
That's right. The Cardinals don't care who they play, but I'll tell you this: with Boston leading 3-2, I want Detroit to win today to force Game 7 to at least force them both to burn another pitcher.
I don't know that that'll necessarily matter, though, because Lester's going to start Game 1 of the World Series for the Red Sox, and he just pitched a couple days ago. So you're going to have Lester ready on regular rest. Buchholz pitches tonight, so he's probably going to be ready for Game 2 on regular rest. So it's not really going to affect them all that much if they face Boston. And then Boston plays a 7-game series against Detroit.
Either the Red Sox or Detroit are going to throw some tough pitching at you.
Detroit's got
some excellent arms.
But which one would mean more? Revenge over 2004, facing the Red Sox again and getting them for 2004, or facing that pitching staff of the Tigers?
If you watched the post game last night, you know the overwhelming majority of the fans of St. Louis want Boston because they were chanting after the game, "We want Boston."
Careful what you wish for sometimes. Yeah. It would be cool as a Cardinals fan to beat Boston, but the Red Sox, they scare me. Fenway Park is different. Mm-hmm. Since 2004, when they broke the curse of the Bambino and all that, it's different.
One thing that's very exciting for Cardinals fans is this is a transitional year.
Right.
They are not at their best, and they still have a bright future ahead of them that hasn't even seen major league time. Oscar Tavares, top prospect, one of the top prospects in all of baseball, hasn't played at the big league level. They've got a guy named Steven Piscotty, an outfielder down in AA, AAA, who he can absolutely hit for like 290, 20 home runs, got a strong arm in right field. They got James Ramsey, whose power finally showed up this year. They got prospects who are still coming. So
they're locked and loaded for the foreseeable future. Yeah, should be a fun decade of Cardinal baseball coming up. So Cardinals in the World Series. They will await the winner of Detroit and Boston. The Red Sox leading 3-2. And Game 6 of that series will be this afternoon. We need to get to a break on WSMI Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will switch gears. We'll start talking high school football following these messages on FM 106.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And let's take a look at the weather forecast being brought to you this time by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. Expect the highs in the upper 50s. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. We'll have a low of around 38 degrees. Sunny skies for Sunday. It will be sunny and warmer. Expect highs in the mid-60s. At 9:14, we have a temperature reading of 43 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
B-Dry Waterproofing Solutions is a full-service waterproofing company serving the greater St. Louis and Metro East area. B-Dry specializes in basement, crawl space, and foundation peering solutions. B-Dry has been satisfying customers for over 50 years and provides free initial consults and estimates, as well as excellent service with a lifetime transferable warranty. So if your home is in need of a waterproofing solution, call B-Dry at 1-800-966-2379 or go to bdry.com.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:15, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, David Jenkins, and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobin Ott. We are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, and hard to believe, but only 1 week in the regular season remains for high school football, and the Carlinville Cavaliers made themselves playoff eligible last night, picking up win number 6 on the year, and they did it in convincing fashion over Southwestern 76-14. And joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, good morning to you, sir. And I guess the offense was rolling last night.
Yeah, we jumped out early, had a few short fields on them. So, it was a situation where we got up early and, it just worked out in our favor.
Southwestern, of course, winless on the year, but you've been in athletics long enough to know, Chad, that just because a team may not have a win, it doesn't mean they're not dangerous on any given Friday night.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We were preparing all week long for the best, and, it got in our favor a little bit, and things got rolling, and I think we had four or five short fields that really made the difference in the night, so... it's one of those nights where everything went well for us and not a lot for them. So,
well, did you find anything really wrong with your team? Because, I mean, a 76-14 victory, you can't find too many mistakes in that outcome.
Well, no. I thought we played pretty solid. I was proud of our kids. We tackled better than we did last week, which was something we had emphasized all week long. Tackling, preparation. They kind of surprised us with a little bit of a no-huddle offense that we had to get adjusted to a little bit, which, that those are pros and cons to those things too. So, I thought we played well.
Chad, at this stage of the year, you mentioned you tackled better this week than last. Is it a challenge as you get later in the year to try to figure out how physical practice should be and working on things such as tackling this late in the year?
Yeah, I think that's a balance of, and we've been blessed with not having a ton of injuries. So, you know, that's a credit to our coaching staff for practicing, but there's that delicate balance there. And, you know, it's hard to teach that sometimes without having some contact. You know, it's a contact sport, so you have to be careful.
And, of course, that's the name of the game, Chad, is staying away from injuries. And, as you said, you've avoided any key injuries to any key players. So going into week 9, that puts you in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you know, we had Kenny Miles ended up with a shoulder injury after the Gillespie game, and he missed maybe 2-3 practices, and he still performed pretty well last Friday, and then he's been 100% this week. So, you know, that worked out really well. And I'm fortunate this year to have Garrett and him back there. So it's a 1-2 punch that's a good luxury to have.
Chad, you mentioned the short field that you guys were able to operate with several times last night. And sometimes field position can kind of be the thing that people forget about, or you don't really appreciate maybe the importance of it. But when you can give your offense a short field, boy, what an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, we ended up with, like, a couple interceptions that ended up with a 25-yard return, and you know, that was, you know, the difference in, you know, possibly a score or a 3-minute drive that ended up to be a 30-second drive. So, you know, those are some key things that happened to us last night. I know their punter had one bad punt that gave us a short field. So, you know, some of those things you just, they work out for you throughout the game.
Well, last night was your final home game of the year, so I assume it was, in fact, senior night, and you're saying goodbye to a very good group of seniors for you.
Yeah, you know, they are. They are. They're a great group of seniors, and I was very proud of them this year that they stepped up, because we just graduated a great group of seniors. So, you know, it's that reload mentality, and they took that challenge throughout the summer and carried it on into this season. And we really haven't missed a beat between last year and this year in terms of the attitude toward practice, the attitude toward preparation, and those types of things. And that's what I'm very thankful for.
When you develop a program like you have had the success in doing there, though your lower grade kids is going to step up now, it's a big challenge to them to fill those shoes. And you guys over there at Carlinville seem to have the luxury of getting that done year after year.
Well, thank you, first of all. You know, I always tell everyone we got great kids. I'm not sure we got great coaches all the time, but, you know, we have kids, and I think they take a lot of pride, sort of the sentence I've used. I did not build Carlinville tradition. I just am responsible to keep it going, and I think they take that approach with us, and I think that's why it's held in such a high regard. I mean, it's a great feeling to have when you get players being self-motivated and those types of things to get better. And, you know, that's a great atmosphere to be around.
Chad, big game for you next week on the road at Litchfield. You only play 9. They're all big, but I don't have to tell you. In terms of playoff seeding and positioning, the difference between 6-3 and 7-2, there's a gap there.
Yeah, there's a gap there. And, I mean, it's obvious, and this is a big win. Or a big week, excuse me, for us, and with a big win if we can get one. And, you know, that's I explained to the kids last night, you know, Litchfield is an up-and-coming team that you guys have talked about and I've seen on film just once. And nothing's guaranteed in South Central. I mean, look at the scores up and down the page this morning and nothing. I see Roxana wins in a convincing fashion as well. So, you know, on any given night, anyone can beat anybody, and that's what makes our conference great, and it's also what makes it a struggle some nights that you don't ever get a freebie, so to speak. And, you know, our kids will be ready to go next week. I'm sure it'll be their senior night. And even though they won't be playoff eligible, I'm sure they have a lot to play for.
Chad Cavaliers off to another strong football season. You are 6-2 on the year. We will talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, defeating Southwestern last night 76-14. That is a big no. That's the highest point total I've seen this year in terms of our area schools.
I believe they had 60 something points in the first half. So, I mean, we were slowly getting updates from the station during our game, and if they had 60 something points in the first half, and we were just like, wow, they're putting on a clinic.
So probably the offensive show of the year from Carlinville last night, and maybe the upset of the year in the South Central last night, as Roxana goes into Staunton and knocks off the Dogs 35-14. a 3-touchdown victory for the Shells. Their second win of the year. Staunton now drops to 5-3. The game of the night in the South Central, which we will be talking about in a moment, was Greenville going to Gillespie and getting a 59-51 victory. That game was heard on the Ox. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But right now, we want to talk about the ball game we had last night here on WQSMI FM 106, as Hillsborough was impressive. Never in doubt last night. They defeated Litchfield 42-14. And joining us on the phone now, the head coach of the Toppers, Aaron Duff. And Duffy, that was an impressive performance. That was pretty much as close to a flawless football game as a team can have, right?
We played really well. Came out. We've been improving every week. I tell you what, our defense played an excellent game. Shut down a lot of things that Litchfield's been having success with, and I'm very proud of our kids.
Duff, you tell me, but I thought the play of the game literally came on the first drive. You guys go 3-and-out, and you're forced to punt. The snap goes over the head of your punter, Joe Passarello. The composure of the senior tracks it down inside his own 5, has Panthers bearing down on him, gets the kick off, winds up getting it across midfield. I thought that turned out to be the play of the game.
We're sitting here watching film this morning. We just watched that, and both Coach Van Gies and I just said the exact same thing. That's the play of the game. Because he was on our 5-yard line when he got that ball turned around and got it off. Actually gave our defense a chance with a decent field position.
Is that something you ever practice, or is that just pure instinct?
That's just pure instinct at that point. He did a great job handling the ball, getting turned around, getting off.
You're correct in what you say about that play, a specific play, because if he doesn't get that kickoff and Litchfield gets the ball down that area and they score, then that old word momentum could very well have went the other way.
Exactly right. You know, that would have given him the ball in about 5, and it is the play of the game to stop any kind of momentum swing.
And Gavin Twitty had himself a big ball game last night, had over 200 yards rushing in the first half, 3 touchdowns, a couple of 64-yarders. But, Duff, I know you're an old-school football guy. When your running back is doing that, that means the offensive line is doing some really good things.
Yeah, with our new offense, we really hide the football deception. I think, even our kids at halftime last night said the refs told them they didn't know where the ball was a couple of times. And our line did a great job. Our running backs are clearing out fakes. It's been really good to see this come together. Our coaches have done a good job with it. Our coaches, Coach Van Gies and Coach Vanzo, and one guy I want to mention that really helped me with offensive stuff is Kevin McDonald. He has done an excellent job, and he helps us tremendously.
Well, next week you got a big one. You go to Pena, and Pena is never an easy place to play. I don't know what there is about it, but when you go to Pena to play football, basketball, whatever, it's never an easy place to play, and you got a lot on the line next week.
Yeah, both teams are 4-4, and it looks like, the team that wins gets into the playoffs. So it'll be a playoff game, playoff atmosphere. And if we just continue to improve, take care of the football, I like our chance.
And Duffy, last night on senior night, and I would imagine there's really no better way to send off a good group of seniors than with a win over your arch rivals in convincing fashion.
Yeah, it was a great job for our seniors. They all played. They all did an excellent job, and it was good to see them get a win on their home field.
Duffy, you'll be happy to know, or actually you probably won't be happy to know, that the first half last night I had Gavin Twitty as a senior before I realized, wait, no, he's only a junior. So I tried to run him out of town a year sooner than he's supposed to.
Yeah, we do that sometimes too.
Duffy, congratulations on a great season to date. And I would imagine when you started practice in the summer, this is really all you were hoping for, was a chance in week 9 to punch your ticket.
Yep. Just give us a chance. And, we're 4-4, and things have really come together nice for our guys.
Yeah, well, you got to love the way your team has progressed the last 3 or 4 games. I think the stride you made, even though you lost at Carlinville, I thought you guys played very well over there and carried it into last night's game.
Yeah, if you just keep improving and seeing that from your kids and the work ethic, as a coach, you're happy with that.
Duffy, congratulations on a great win last night. We will talk to you next week, sir.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, and they are 4-4. They are on the road next week at 4-4 Pena. The winner will be in the postseason. We'll have the game for you live right here on WSMI FM 106. And our other game next week, we'll have Gillespie and Staunton tangling over on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. So we gave you the South Central scores a moment ago. In the Prairie State last night, Nokomis and Mount Olive both became they clinched their playoff spot, picking up their sixth wins. And we've seen over the years in the Prairie State, you got to get that sixth win because a lot of five-win teams in the Prairie State get left out on playoff points.
Yeah, they seem to be overlooked for some reason. You better have that six wins going into the playoffs because you may be sitting at home watching somebody else play.
Well, and that's the benefit we always talk about the South Central has, having the closed schedule. You're always guaranteed, even if you've got a winless team in your conference, somebody's beating them and you're getting points out of that. You get the Prairie State where you have a couple of non-conference games you can play. If that team goes winless, you're getting nothing out of it. And we've seen that cost the Prairie State teams several times over the past years. Mount Olive defeated Metro East Lutheran last night 57-12 to get their sixth win. Marquette defeated Bunker Hill 56-7 to pick up their sixth win. And the Nokomis Redskins defeated Decatur Lutheran for the second time this year, 48-6. And that was win number six for the Skins as well. And joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of Nokomis, Gabe Cesaretian. Gabe, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. We were just talking about, in the Prairie State especially, five wins you don't feel very good. But when you get number six, they can't keep you out.
No, that's really, we talked about clinching last night and we got it done. It seems like the last couple of years in the Prairie State, five wins is not going to get you in. Just haven't had enough wins to go around. So, we definitely wanted to get the six and got it done last night.
What was the challenge for you this week preparing for a club that you had already played? That is, you did it last year, I know, but it's an oddity for football. You don't normally play the same team twice in a year.
You're right. I mean, like I said, we got a little experience at last year because we had the same schedule. So we really just look at it like it's just another game and prepare for them, like an all new opponent coming in. And, of course, it's, 5 or 6 weeks apart, so things can change between now and then. And, you just kind of prepare for it like a normal week.
Gabe, I know you're focused on this year, and rightfully so, but is that something scheduling-wise that you're going to look to maybe make a slight adjustment to replace Decatur Lutheran's non-conference game with a different opponent?
Yeah, they've got that done already. Decatur Lutheran's leaving the conference next year, so we won't play them at all.
Well, I'll take care of that then.
Yeah.
I can't keep track of all these conference alignments. Teams are in, they're out, so...
I can barely keep track of ours.
That's all you need to do. Gabe, what did you like about the way your club played last night? Very impressive win.
I thought last night the defense played extremely well. We always talk about getting 11 hats to the ball in every play, and our defense was swarming really well last night. We were playing really physical, which is, we try to have that as a trademark around here in Nokomis, and they played extremely well, and we had Austin Chauncey got three interceptions last night, three, I believe, last night. And even last week, we had Clint Tester had four interceptions. So, we're starting to create the turnovers that we like to see. But overall, like I said, defense played really well.
And Mother Nature cooperated again. Excuse me. Last night was just almost another perfect night for Friday night football.
It was, and the rain came down just about half hour after the game was over, so it stayed away just the amount of time we needed. Yeah.
Yeah, everything went well.
Gabe, you mentioned
it was a perfect night last night.
You mentioned all the interceptions the last couple of weeks, and turnovers are funny things. They generally seem to come in bunches.
They do. You're right. And turnovers create turnovers, and we've talked about that on the phone before. That we practice causing turnovers, so we really like to see them.
We always say when you're playing a game with a goofy-looking ball like a football, anything can happen.
They sure can. You never know where that thing's going to bounce.
Gabe, it was senior night for you last night, and just talk a little bit about this year's group of seniors.
We did. We talked about them before the game, of course, all week. This group of seniors is going to be a hard one to, let go because, of course, they've been a big part of, three playoff runs now and, a huge amount of victories. But the whole group of seniors, including their parents, have been just great people to work with for the last 4 years, and it'll be an extremely hard group to let go.
And I don't think anyone is going to question the fact that Nokomis historically is a basketball town, but I think it's safe to say, Gabe, that you've got the buzz generated with the football team.
I hope we do. I hope we do. And we support all of our sports here in town. The fans in Nokomis are great. They're behind you 100%. It doesn't matter what you're playing. They love the basketball. They love football too. And especially when you're doing well, they support the heck out of you.
Yeah, that's right. Gabe, you got win number 6 last night, a chance to get win number 7 next week at South Fork. And we mentioned to Chad Easter, when we were talking to him earlier, the difference between 6-3 and 7-2 when you're talking about seeding, boy, can that make a big difference.
It sure can. I mean, if you can get the 7-2, you feel like there's a slim possibility you could get a home game. 6-3, you're really not looking for one. It'll be Kincaid's senior night, and, you know, that – it's kind of a rivalry game, you know, we're about the closest teams around anymore, to us. And it'll be their senior night. They'll be pumped up. So it'll be our job to get cranked up when we get down there next week.
Of course, Gabe, the last several years you mentioned your playoff runs, you guys have had to go 2A because of the various co-ops. Now, this year, you guys should be 1A, correct?
We should get it's 1-1 up. We were 3A the last couple
that's,
of years.
Oh, that's right.
We should drop into 2A this year. Yeah.
Drop into 2A, okay. And obviously that will make a big, big difference for you.
I think so. And, I mean, you can look at any class, 1-3, and, you some games are going to be easier, but then there's always your powerhouses in every class. So this should help us out a little bit, we hope.
Well, Gabe, another fine season for the Nokomis Redskins. A nice victory last night to put yourselves in the postseason. And best of luck next week, and we'll talk to you on Saturday, sir.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Gabe Cesaretti, the head coach of the Nokomis Redskins. And that's right, I forgot, 3A for Nokomis. That's
yeah.
Wrong.
It just doesn't seem right.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's definitely wrong, but that's position they've found themselves in, and that makes it tough. Whoever your opponent is, if you're playing a 3A school and you're a 1A school, basically, that's a tough hill to climb.
Really,
well, credit to them last season. I believe they played Monticello in their playoff game, and that was a game for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Programming note, of course, the high school football regular season wraps up next week, and then the playoff pairings will come out on Saturday the 26th. We're going to have our playoff preview show on Monday the 28th. So we're going to have the show for you Monday the 28th. Going to be the exact same deal. We're going to talk to all of our area coaches. But our thinking on this was a fairly simple one. With the internet now, people pretty much have access to the pairings that night. And the coaches that night are so busy running around trying to get film, trying to get things situated, that we feel on Monday they will have seen some film. We'll have all the game time set. We'll have our broadcast schedule set. So we feel it'll be a much more comprehensive, better flowing show when we bring it to you on October the 28th. And it's the road to DeKalb this year.
Moved up.
Going
the road
a little further north.
Yep. A little farther north. They may have some snow up there.
They might. There was snow in Kansas yesterday.
Yeah, and Chicago was talking about possibilities of snow flurries today.
We don't need any of that down here.
No.
They can keep it up in Chi-Town.
I never saw a standing corn or beans that looked pretty with snow on it.
That's not a good thing. Some other scores for you last night in the Sangamo Conference. Porta defeated North Mac 36-14. So the Panthers 4-4. They will need a win in week 9 to become playoff eligible. Auburn all over Pawnee 49-14. It was Athens defeating Pleasant Plains 28-16. New Berlin defeated Sangamon Valley 44-12. And Williamsville blanked Riverton 52-0.
Geez, Williamsville won again? Amazing.
I know, that is shocking. And let's switch back to the Prairie State Conference right now. Joining us on the phone is the head coach of the Mount Olive Wildcats, Mr. Josh Martin. Good enough to give us a few minutes of his time, coming off of a 57-12 victory last night over Metro East Lutheran. But, Josh, the most important thing that came out of last night, your 6th win, so you are going dancing.
Well, thank you, guys. Yeah, we were excited, obviously, to get that playoff first. So now we can just hopefully relax and play some good football.
Talk a little bit about this game last night, a flat-out dominating performance from your Wildcats.
Yeah, what we told the kids what we were looking for is a mistake-free football game, and, they did a pretty good job. They went out and they executed well. Obviously, we had a few few items that we got to clean up yet, but all in all, a very good performance and a very good outing for the guys.
The quest for the perfect game, that's like finding the holy grail, isn't it?
It is, and you know what? That's what we talk about it all the time, and that's what we're looking for. And, you know, we try to get as close as possible.
Josh, what has been the difference, do you think, from last year to this year for the Wildcats?
You know, I just think a physical maturation in a lot of the kids is a huge deal. And we also have a couple of these younger guys, sophomores, juniors, stepping up, and they're filling in these slots that and they're making plays and making a difference for this team. And you know, it's when you have the ability not just to play from one area, it helps out.
When you have sophomores that can contribute on a Friday night, that really kind of helps to get the program building sped up a few notches, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, and I think, you know, the way that these younger kids are getting in there is great, and I think you can commend them on the fact that it's their off season, their summertime work, and their time in the weight room, which is allowing them to, you know, be able to be out there with those guys. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be able to put them out there on that field.
And the ability of a sophomore to step in and play gives you an opportunity to rest someone else for a little bit, even if it's just a breather for a couple, 2-3 minutes. That's always a great benefit to have.
Oh yeah, you know, we obviously we're a small school, so we can't platoon, which is, you know, which would be great. But when you're able to get a guy off on a couple special teams on a kickoff or a PAT or something like that, like you said, one or two plays can make a world of difference.
Senior night for you last night. Josh, talk a little bit, if you could, about this group of seniors you have.
Oh, they're a great group of guys. They have just worked their buns off. And, you know, they've kind of seen it from both sides of the field. You know, a couple of years ago, they were sitting where Metro was, where they were young and taking their lumps. And but they've learned, and they've really come out with a passion and a fire to get things done this year. I think it's shown.
And Coach, it's got to be a lot nicer. Obviously, last season you essentially needed a win in that last week of the season to clinch your playoff berth. Now you've already got it clinched, so you can't exactly relax because that seventh win is oh so important in the final week of the season. But it's got to be nice knowing that you're officially in.
Oh, it's very nice knowing. But, you know, in order to hopefully get a good draw, we definitely need to have that seventh win. So, you know, we can't rely on our playoff points at all. We got to get that seventh win.
And you will hit the road next week to Trenton Westland. What do you know about Westland?
I don't know a lot. I haven't seen any film yet on them. But I did coach against Coach Rick Johns when he was at Belleville West and I was at Granite City. So I know what the offense that he wants to run. So, We'll be looking for that, and I really think that we will have a good shot against them.
Sounds good, Josh. Congratulations on your playoff clinching win last night. We look forward to talking to you next week, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good Saturday.
Josh Martin, the head coach of the Mount Olive Wildcats. They are back in the postseason. We need to get to a break. Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
The Ghouls and Goblins will soon be knocking on your door in search of delicious Halloween goodies. This year, trick them into eating nutritiously with farmer-owned Pure Prairie Farms fresh milk and butter disguised as Halloween cookies. Running from house to house can make your little goblins pretty thirsty, so send them trick-or-treating with Prairie Farms plastic pints of orange juice, milk, or chocolate milk, and have a happy and healthy Halloween. And taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
B-Dry Waterproofing Solutions is a full-service waterproofing company serving the greater St. Louis and Metro East area. B-Dry specializes in basement, crawl space, and foundation peering solutions. B-Dry has been satisfying customers for over 50 years and provides free initial consults and estimates, as well as excellent service with a lifetime transferable warranty. So if your home is in need of a waterproofing solution, call B-Dry at 1-800-966-2379 or go to bdry.com.
If you have an injury that keeps you from doing your job and you need rehabilitation, consider Teamwork Rehab. Our Litchfield location offers work hardening and conditioning, along with traditional physical and occupational therapy services. Our specialized services can transition you from patient to worker faster and safer. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Hospital with three locations, Litchfield, Hillsborough, and Nokomis. Give us a call at 532-4160.
Teamwork Rehab. Give them a call today, 532-4160, 532-4160.
And at 9:42, let's take a look at the weather forecast, brought to you this time by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Becoming partly cloudy for today. Expect a high today of around 58 degrees. Partly cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. We'll have a low of around 38 degrees. Heading into Sunday, it would be sunny and warmer. Expect highs in the mid-60s. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies and cooler. There is a slight chance of a rain on Tuesday. Expect highs in the mid-50s. The lows will be in the upper 30s. At 9:43, we have a temperature reading of 44 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Grow your own way.
From auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement, Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you, just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own way. Grow your own way.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpole, your country agent in Raymond.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:45, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Thank you, Tobin. The game of the night last night in the South Central, maybe in the state. I don't know if there could have been a better game last night in the entire state of Illinois. Greenville goes into Gillespie and gets past the Miners 59-51. It was a game you heard on 105.3 The Ox. And joining us right now, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, Todd Hutchinson. And Hutch, a nice defensive showdown last night in Gillespie.
You bet. Just like we like them. You know, we love that defensive stuff. But, you know, just a great football game, I think. Obviously an entertaining game for the fans and a little nerve-wracking at time, I think, for both coaching staffs. But I think just two 7-0 teams, two great football teams going at it, and what a great football game.
And what were your impressions of the Miners after that game?
Well, I mean, we knew coming in they were, you know, they're first of all, they're a well-coached team. Coach Borgini and Coach DeBrino and Coach Cal, they've got a Hall of Fame coaching staff and just a ton of years of experience. So we know they're well-coached, and we knew they were a hard-nosed, physical football team. We could see that last year. So, you know, they're 7-0 for a reason coming in, and we didn't take them lightly, and they certainly gave us everything that we could handle.
Coach, I suppose you may have thought the game was, I don't want to say maybe in hand, but you were looking good driving with around 2 minutes left in the game, up by 1 point and deep in Gillespie territory. And then Eric Turok, unfortunately, let the ball hit the ground and Gillespie recovered. You must have been, holding on for dear life at that moment.
Well, I think you just go right back to work, you know, especially in that situation. I think you always got to believe and you always got to stay focused and what's at hand, so... You know, we're thinking, do we go for two or do we kick? And in my mind, anyway, the offensive coaches are taking care of business, and then we lose it. So now you immediately go to, we've got to find a way to get them off the field. And, you know, as crazy as it was defensively for us last night, and we've got a lot of different parts in there right now, but as crazy as it was, I thought the last two or three possessions and even the whole fourth quarter, I thought our guys really really rose to the occasion. You know, we had guys out of position, guys that hadn't played positions before, and I thought our guys just showed a lot of guts and found a way to win that football game.
Well, and we joke about it not being much of a defensive game with 109 total points scored, but really in the last few minutes, your defense stepped up as Gillespie was able to get the ball back late in the fourth quarter and held them essentially to a three and out.
Well, I thought we did, and you know, that's a pretty potent Gillespie team, a big, big physical team that has a lot of weapons, and I thought our guys, you know, like you said, the last two and even three drives, I thought our guys rose the occasion. I thought they went a different gear. I feel like our kids know how to win, and they've been in big games and big situations, and they don't let things rattle them. I think that's very important. You know, we get down, we're going to keep fighting and playing. We know our offense can always get us back in it, so. You know, we just knew we had to get a stop or two. The pick and the fumble were big stops for us. And then obviously the last two stops of the game were big.
Well, Hutch, all week long, us folks, us media types, we were basically billing last night's game as the South Central Conference Championship game with the last two undefeated teams, knowing full well that anything can happen
sure. In
week nine. But now that you've got the win, how do you avoid the letdown against your rivals from Vandy?
Well, you know, I think we approach it like we have for the last 6 years. I think it's just business as usual. We enjoy the win. We're smart about it. Friday and Saturday, we take care of our injuries and our bumps and bruises. On Sunday, we meet, obviously, as coaches on Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday, we get right back to work, and it's just who's our next opponent. So, you know, we're going to prepare like we do all the time. We're just going to get back to work Monday and do our running and film work and then get back on the practice field Tuesday and just try to get better. Our focus always is to get better each day, and you know, we're just going to try to do what we can to finish this thing out.
Well, Hutch, when you get into this type end of the season and you're 8-0, you mentioned a while ago you figure out ways to win, and certainly your kids have done that all year, figured out ways to win, and that's what you got to do. The game can be relatively simple, or it can be pretty complicated.
You're right. We can complicate things as coaches, or we can just try to put the kids in the right spots during the week. You know, I tell them the Monday through Thursday are ours and Friday's theirs. So, you know, we try to turn the kids loose on Friday, and obviously we're going to guide them in the right direction, but we also like to give them a lot of ownership because when push comes to shove, you know, they're the ones out on the field that see things going on and that have to make plays. So, you know, I'm proud of our kids and what they've become and where they're at. And we're just going to try to keep things rolling.
Hutch, an impressive road victory for you last night over the Miners, 59-51. Best of luck next week, and we'll talk to you soon, sir.
You bet. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Todd Hutchinson, the head coach of the undefeated Greenville Comets, as they will play host to Vandalia next week and try to wrap up another perfect regular season. We hope to catch up with Pat Rentz here in a moment on WSMI Sports Saturday. Right now, while we have a moment, let's run down some of the state tournament golf results for you. We have some local kids showing extremely well. Now, the leader after round one, Christopher Tate from Champaign-St. Thomas More, fired a 68. That's four under par. Shot four under par. Makes me feel terrible about my golf game. Goodness gracious. William Murphy from Mount Olive, a junior, is in 13th place right now. William fired a 76, four over.
Not bad.
That also doesn't make me feel very good about my golf game. And then Tyler Woods, a sophomore from Palmyra Northwestern, right now tied for 21st. He shot a 79 yesterday in round one. And Eric Pingolt, a senior from Carthenville, also made the state golf tournament. He is in 83rd position right now. He shot a 90. But guys, we talked about it before, the state golf tournament. I don't care if you come in last at the state golf tournament. If you make it to state in golf, yeah, you are excellent.
You've done well. And this young man from Mount Olive that's 13th.
That's correct.
That's, you know, think about that a little bit. 13th in the state. That's pretty doggone good.
Not bad. 13th out of 110. I believe.
That's not too shabby.
State tournament.
In the state tournament.
That's just the state tournament.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Your golf game wouldn't have put you in that category.
Not so much. Yeah. I played golf in high school, but shockingly, I never got out of the regional. Weird.
I thought you were going to say you never got off the first tee.
I had issues every once in a while. That first tee can be tricky sometimes. So the state golf tournament has round two probably underway right now. Last night, boys soccer regional championship games at Alton Marquette. Althoff defeated Marquette 1-0. Bree Central regional championship had Harrisburg over Carlisle 4-2. In the Freiburg Regional Championship, these are 1A soccer regional championships. Columbia blanked Freiburg 3-0. And at the Waterloo-Jabot Regional, Jabot defeated Anna Jonesboro 3-2. And have no score for the Lincolnwood-Greenville Regional Championship. It was nowhere to be found this morning. So, listener, if you know who won, call us up and let us know, because
absolutely,
the internets did not tell me this morning.
Do you have those matchups for those regional?
The sectional matchups of the regional winners? I don't know what you're asking me.
Okay, never mind. Just forget it.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
You don't know, and he's confused. And
my hamster's running too fast in my head right now.
He's
going
to
fall off on his wheel. I don't know what's going on. Always an exciting time of the high school sports season right now when you get the soccer postseason and football playoffs right around the corner.
Yeah, you got football playoffs, you got soccer playoffs, you got golf, you got volleyball for the ladies, and it's a very busy time. And then all of a sudden, boom, we'll be down to one and only, and that'll be the big round ball, basketball, and that's not too far off.
I think, what did Terry tell me the other day? Like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
5 weeks. Something. It's close.
And always our first broadcast is the Litchfield girls and the Nokomis girls.
That's right. It's going to be another exciting basketball season across the WSMI listening area. But this football season has been one of the best I can remember, say, in the last 10 years, Uncle Ruff. I mean, we've had great games throughout the area.
Well, we talked about it before the season got underway, Tim, that the South Central looked to be pretty loaded, and it has proved that way. Even the lesser teams have had good competition against the better teams, so it's made real interesting football.
We do have a final on the Lincolnwood regional.
Excellent.
It was Greenville 1, Lincolnwood nothing.
That's why I love our listeners on top of it. So Greenville wins the Lincolnwood regional last night, 1-0.
Good game.
Very good game.
Very good.
Solid goaltending. Like it.
Goalkeeping, I think, right? Aren't they goalkeeper?
Same thing.
Aren't they keeper? I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's beyond me.
I don't know. You get into terminology now. I don't know.
Sure Terry will
that,
give
that
us a call.
I think that'd be like saying a run in baseball is the same as a point.
Or saying, is your glass half empty or half full?
Now we're getting deep.
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Now we're getting too deep there.
I thought it was depend on the night.
Oh, yeah. That too. That always has something to do with it. Yes. The Fighting Illini will be on the radio tonight hosting Wisconsin. Of course, the Illini were off last week. Back in action tonight hosting the Badgers. We'll have live coverage with the Illini Sports Network tonight at 6:30 here on WSMI FM 106. Wisconsin down a little bit from where they've been the last number of years. Still a very good, powerful football program. And if the Illini somehow, I don't expect them to win tonight, but if they somehow knock off Wisconsin, that could be a program-turning victory.
Mm-hmm. This game is it's early in the season, but it's very important for Illinois that they at least play well because, as you said, Wisconsin is down a little, but still very tough.
And that could happen, though. It's at home. Anything can happen at home.
True.
And the thing you said, Uncle Ralph, just play well. And I think that more than wins and losses, which obviously everybody wants to get as many W's as you can. But when you've got a program as low as the Illini have been for such a period of time, you can't just expect to immediately go 10-1 or go undefeated and roll through the Big Ten. These are not even, 7-5. To me, these aren't even really realistic expectations. I want to see the Illini compete this year. Let the chips fall where they may at the end of the year in terms of the wins and losses, but I want to see the Illini compete week in, week out in the Big Ten.
Yeah. And by the way, I talked to some people yesterday that went up to Champaign and watched the basketball scrimmage with the Fighting Illini, and they said they came away a little bit surprised. They saw some potential there that maybe the Illini might be, fairly competitive.
I think the Illini are going to be a lot more than competitive. I think they're going to be downright dangerous this year is what
I
think.
That's good.
They could end up at the top of the conference somewhere.
I wouldn't be surprised at all because John Gross, the style he plays, we saw it last year, what he did with the players that Bruce Weber couldn't get anything out of. We saw what Gross did with those guys. Now he's getting his guys. And the recruiting class he's got coming in this year is excellent. The recruiting class he's got for next year is even better.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, the U of I, we mentioned it earlier about Nokomis being a basketball school. University of Illinois, to me, when you mentioned that, always will be a basketball school with a want-to-be-a-football mentality.
Yeah, no,
always be a basketball school.
You're exactly right, Tobin. 1,000% correct there. Yeah. It always has been and always will be a basketball school.
Yeah, yeah, that's
it's like, a basketball state.
It's like asking somebody at Duke, do they play football there?
I don't think so. Barely.
No. They do.
They put helmets and pads on, but I don't know if it's football.
Well, they got Thaddeus Lewis, who's playing in the NFL right
well,
now.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Duke football program is a little better than it was a few years ago. They were actually probably a worse football program than the Illini, historically.
Yeah,
which
they were pretty down.
Which is hard to imagine. They were bad,
yeah,
but
yeah,
the Illini appear to be, I can't believe I'm saying this, on the right path.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised with the way the Illini have played
leading into conference play. Let's get further into conference play before we just
not get too excited. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
calm down.
Because they didn't have a good showing against Nebraska. So
let's see what they do against Wisconsin this evening, and maybe we'll have a better handle on what they're going to do the rest of the season because they're into the Big Ten now, and the Big Ten is a little black and blue as a rule.
Yes, it is.
They still just need 3 wins to be bowl eligible.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't have thunk that either.
No, not at all.
So the Illini will host Wisconsin tonight live at 6:30 right here on WSMI FM 106. Of course, thanks to all of our area coaches for joining us this morning on WSMI Sports Saturday. It was a jam-packed show. And next week, there will be 2 games done in the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can sit here and say, go Redbirds.
That's exactly right. So the Cardinals, World Series bound again. We had some local teams last night clinch their playoff appearances with win number 6. Carthenville, Nokomis, and Mount Olive all picked up win number 6 last night. And so they are assured of a spot in the postseason. That is it for WSMI Sports Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. For Tobin Ott, David Jenkins, Uncle Ralph, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.